So the Psalms, which we're focusing on through the month of June, actually challenge us and shape us as we connect with the heart and the mind of God. In fact, the Psalms remind us of what the primary purpose of the Bible is, which is not just information or inspiration, but the point of the Bible is transformation as we become closer and closer to the heart and the mind of God. We become transformed as we engage the Word of God and we become spiritually mature, and then we begin to reflect more and more the image of Christ. Por medio de la palabra de Dios, Dios nos transforma. And so that's part of what we're doing here together today. The Bible, as we've talked about the last couple of weeks, is the written Word of God that serves as this living link, as this connection between us and God, so that as we engage the Word of God, as we meditate the Word of God, that Word has the power to transform us and to make us new. La palabra de Dios tiene el poder para transformarnos y hacernos nuevas criaturas. So once again, that's the point of the end goal of the Word of God. Not just to make us nice people that come to church on Sundays, but it's to make us new people, transformed people that reflect the image of Christ. That we would be new people with new hearts, with new minds and new thoughts. Dios nos quiere transformar, darnos nuevos pensamientos y nuevo ser. So one thing that we've been saying together as a community is that the Psalms invite us to refocus our thinking. Los Salmos nos invitan a reenfocar nuestros pensamientos, because refocused thinking leads to renewed living. And then renewed living leads to transformation, where we get those new hearts, those new minds, and that new way of being, reflecting the image of Christ, letting go of our old ways. So throughout the month of June, we're not only reading the Psalms together, but we're actually singing the Psalms. We're praying the Psalms. And as a community, we're living the Psalms.
Durante el mes de junio, estamos cantando los Salmos y viviendo los Salmos juntos.
And today, we're going to be reading Psalm chapter 18. So far, we've read Psalm chapter 1, Psalm chapter 8, and today we'll be on 18. Vamos a estar en Salmo capítulo 18 esta mañana. And we've been looking at an introduction video to the Psalms every single week that we've been together. Hemos estado viendo un video de introducción. And so I'm going to invite us all to actually take a moment and reflect on the first few minutes of this video as we prepare our hearts and our minds to open up Psalm 18.
Vamos a ver este video de introducción del libro de Salmos.
We've been talking about poetry in the Bible, how biblical poets love design and masterfully use metaphor and symbolism. These poems invite us into an experience, to ponder ideas slowly and from many angles.
And the largest collection of poetry in the Bible is the Book of Psalms. So that's what we're going to look at here. The Book of Psalms, it's a collection of 150 ancient Hebrew poems, songs, and prayers that come from all different periods in Israel's history. Many of these poems are connected with King David, 73, actually, and he was known as a poet and a harp player. But there are many different authors behind these poems. There's the poems of Asaph, or from the sons of Korah, and some are from other worship leaders in the temple. Even Solomon and Moses have their own poems, and nearly one-third of these are anonymous. Now, many of these poems came to be used by the choirs that sang in Israel's temple, but the Book of Psalms is actually not a hymn book. At some point in the period after Israel's exile to Babylon, these ancient poems were gathered together and intentionally arranged into the Book of Psalms before us. And it has a very unique design and message that you're not going to notice unless you read it from beginning to end. Now, to see how the Book of Psalms is designed, it's actually most helpful to start at the end. The book concludes with five poems of praise to the God of Israel, and each one begins and ends with the word Hallelujah, which is Hebrew for a command to tell a group of people to praise Yah, which is short for the divine name Yahweh. Now, that's a really nice five-part arrangement, and it looks like someone's giving us a conclusion here to the book. So, it invites the question, does the book have any other signs of intentional design? If you pay attention to the headings of the poems, you'll notice that at five places, your Bible translators have the heading Book 1, Book 2, Book 3, 4, and 5 at various points, and that these divide the book into five large sections. Now, the reason for this is that the final poem in each of those sections have a very similar ending that looks like an editorial edition. It reads something like, "May the Lord, the God of Israel, be blessed forever and ever. Amen and amen." So the book has a conclusion. It has an internal organization into five main parts, and so the natural place to go from here is now the beginning, to look for an introduction. And what do we find? Psalms 1 and 2, which stand outside of Book 1 because most of the poems in Book 1 are linked to David, except Psalms 1 and 2, which are anonymous. Psalm 1 celebrates how blessed the person is who meditates on the Torah, prayerfully reading it day and night, and then obeying it. Now, the word Torah simply means teaching, and more specifically, it came to refer to the five books of Moses that begin the Old Testament. And here, actually, the word seems to be used with both meanings in mind, which explains why it has five main parts. The book of Psalms is being offered as a new Torah that will teach God's people the lifelong practice of prayer as they strive to obey God's commands given in the first Torah. Psalm 2 is a poetic reflection on God's promise to King David from 2 Samuel chapter 7.
Okay, so that's just a continued brief introduction to the book of Psalms, and that's from the Bible Project. They have a lot of videos on YouTube and also on their website, many resources for every book in the Bible to help us understand just the general idea of every book in the Bible. Esa es una introducción, un video que por medio de una organización que se llama el Proyecto de la Biblia. Los pueden encontrar en la internet. So that just gives us a little bit of that introduction so that we know what we're engaging this morning. But now, with open hearts and open minds, let's go ahead and read the Word of God. Juntos como una comunidad, vamos a leer la Palabra de Dios. As I mentioned, we're on Psalm chapter 18 today. I'll read it first in Spanish, and then I'll read it for us in English as well. That's Psalm chapter 18, verses 1 to 6. Si tienen sus Biblias, we also have Bibles right in the back, English and Spanish, in case you need one. We have a Bible table right in the back, and if you don't have one, that's our gift to you. Tenemos Biblias atrás también. So let's go ahead and read the scriptures from Psalm chapter 18, verses 1 to 6. Vamos a leer Salmo capítulo 18, versículos 1 al 6. I'll read first in Spanish and then in English. Voy a leer primero en español. Salmo capítulo 18, versículo 1. ¿Cuánto te amo, Señor? Fuerza mía, el Señor es mi roca, mi amparo, mi libertador. Es mi Dios, el peñasco en que me refugio. Es mi escudo, el poder que me salva. Mi más alto escondite, invoco al Señor que es digno de alabanza y quedo a salvo de mis enemigos. Los lazos de la muerte me envolvieron, los torrentes destructores me abrumaron, me enredaron los lazos del sepulcro y me encontré ante las trampas de la muerte. En mi angustia invoqué al Señor, clamé a mi Dios. Y Él me escuchó desde su templo. Mi clamor llegó a sus oídos. Now let's hear the word of God, Psalm chapter 18, verses 1 to 6. And if you read there in your heading, it tells you a little bit of background. It says that this is a psalm of David. David sang to the Lord these words of this song when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies. And from the hand of Saul, who was the first king of Israel, who was actually trying to kill David. So when David talks about, Lord, save me from my enemies, this isn't just figurative, but this was real talk. Save me from people, from those around me that are trying to destroy me. So with that in mind, let's read Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 to 6, starting at verse 1. And it's right in the back, and you can follow along in your Bibles. I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I called to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I have been saved from my enemies. The cords of death entangled me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. And from His temple, He heard my voice. My cry came before Him into His ears. Amen. So the Psalms are what we've been calling as a church God's songbook. We see in these songs the heart of God. And in fact, the Psalms are the book in the Bible with the most chapters. So at the heart of the Bible, we find the heart of God in the Psalms. Encontramos el corazón y la pasión de Dios en los Salmos. That's why in June, we're taking time to just rest in the Psalms. En el mes de junio, estamos descansando en los Salmos. We rest in the Psalms because we know that some of us are coming into this summer season very tired, very exhausted. Some of you have had a beginning of the year that has been extremely challenging, or last year that almost seemed unbearable. So right now, together as a community, we're taking time to rest in the Psalms. Juntos como una comunidad estamos encontrando reposo en los Salmos. And that's why we are engaging this passage. In this passage, it reads that it's a psalm of David. We read another psalm of David. Last week, we talked a lot about David, so today I'll just give us a little bit of background for those of us that weren't here. But David sang and wrote many of the psalms. And the Bible actually refers to David as a man after God's own heart. He wrote the majority of the Psalms. In fact, 73 Psalms are written by David. And the rest were written by other biblical poets. El rey David escribió la mayoría de los Salmos. And one thing we see throughout the Scriptures and throughout the Psalms is that David was not a perfect man. El rey David no era hombre perfecto. In fact, he was very broken at times, and yet he held on to the faithfulness of God. I love how the Bible doesn't try to dance around this issue or try to make David just this spiritual hero. No, it shows us David as David was, someone that was both broken and blessed. And that's like a lot of us, broken and blessed by the living God. One thing that David did is, yeah, he wasn't perfect, but David held on and he trusted the living God. He trusted the God that would never let go of him. And friends, brothers, sisters, you have a God who will never let go of you. He holds you. He carries you. Tenemos un Dios que jamás nos dejará. David served as the second king of ancient Israel, the people of Israel that we read about in the Old Testament. He experienced many, many hard times in his life. But one thing that he did is he trusted God with a radical faith. David trusted God with a no matter what kind of faith. That no matter what, I'm holding on. That's what David did. And oftentimes, he stumbled in that direction. It wasn't always pretty. But David trusted God with a no matter what kind of faith. El rey David confió en Dios con todo su corazón. And through the Psalms, we see a lot of David's personal diary. We see David share his fears. We see David confess his failures. He gives praises and he gives thanks to God through the Psalms. David actually serves as a prayer coach for us. So if you're wanting help in learning how to pray, the Psalms are available to us. David will coach us. He'll coach us and teach us to pray in giving us words on how to pray and how to discover God's presence in the good times as well as in the very, very bad times. In the Psalms, we find every single human emotion. We find joy. We find praise. We find anxiety. We find depression. We find courage. It's all in the Psalms. Cada emoción humana se encuentra en los Salmos. The Psalms are actually not the kind of book that we just read once. Los Salmos no nomás los leemos una vez. In fact, that's what the Bible Project videos have been talking about. That the Psalms actually remind us of what the purpose of the Bible is, which is closeness with God. It's not just about information. It's not just about temporary inspiration, but it's about closeness and drawing near to God. And the Psalms invite us to draw near to the heart and the mind of God. So again, the Psalms, we don't just read once, but they're written in such a way where they're meant to be read throughout a lifetime. Los Salmos se pueden leer por toda la vida. They're meant to be read throughout our life through slow reading and rereading and reflecting and journaling. These prayers are meant to become our own prayers. They are poems. They are prayers. They are praises for people like you and me. People like you and me who don't have it all together. But people like you and me that are learning to live by God's wisdom. People like us who are learning to live another way, seeking God's justice and God's reality here in the world. Los salmos son para la gente ordinaria. Dios puede hacer cosas extraordinarias por medio de su palabra. So friends, in those times in our lives, which I know many of us have experienced, in those times where we have no words, in those seasons where we only have tears, where we only have unanswered questions, one thing we do have is we have the Psalms. We can pray the Psalms. We can live the Psalms. And when we are speechless, when we don't even know what to say before God, the Psalms give us words. The Psalms teach us how to enter in to the presence of God. Los Salmos nos enseñan cómo entrar a la presencia de Dios. So before there were all these worship songs and Sundays and worship bands, there was one original songbook, and that was the Psalms. The Psalms are the original worship songs. So in fact, they're the original praise songs for the people of God. And the Psalms are actually also the original prayer book for those seeking after God. Los Salmos nos enseñan cómo cantar y también cómo orar. You know, I've had a number of very special teachers and mentors in my life. Some of them are alive, some of them are not alive. Most of the mentors in my life I've met, and some of them I actually have never met. One of the people that has impacted my life deeply as a pastor and as a servant of God is actually someone that died in 1945. So I never had a chance to meet him. This was a pastor. His name is actually Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And he died in 1945. He lived in Germany while it was taken over by Hitler and the Nazis. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer not only preached the Word of God, but he lived the Word of God. So he stood up to Hitler and the Nazis, and he resisted. And what ended up happening with Dietrich Bonhoeffer is he actually was arrested and he was killed. He was hanged in a Nazi camp. And this is just a brief story about what the Psalms meant to Bonhoeffer. Esta es una historia de qué los Salmos significaban para Bonhoeffer. So, in the last days of his life, Bonhoeffer, just 2 years before his death, he actually wrote a letter to his parents. And in this letter, he described how he keeps going day by day, knowing that he is going to be executed any day, any hour, at any point. He talks about how he passes the time in prison. And this is what he says in the letter that he writes to his parents. Bonhoeffer says the following. He says, "I read the Psalms. I read the Psalms every day, as I have done for years. I know the Psalms and I love the Psalms. I love them more than any other book." So if we just pause and reflect on that. This is a brilliant man, perhaps one of the greatest theologians in modern history. He did not only proclaim the Word of God, but he lived the Word of God. Again, he's known around the world. Pastors who study in becoming pastors actually learn about him. His books have been written in various languages. He's had hundreds of writings and hundreds of lectures. He's read thousands of books. He met some of the most influential people and experienced some of the most influential moments of the past 100 years. And yet, in his final moments, none of that mattered. All that he could do was hold on to the Psalms. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, just like our Lord and King Jesus, just like the one who he followed, who inspired him, Bonhoeffer was drenched in the Psalms. So when he was pressed in life, he learned to bleed the Psalms. How can we, as a community, be so drenched in the Psalms that we learn to bleed the Psalms? When this life, when people, when circumstances that are completely out of our control, when they come pressing down on us, how can we be drenched in the Psalms that they are what we bleed? When life hits, we can respond. We can say what verse 2 said. We can say, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." And we can say, verse 6, we can sing verse 6, "In my distress I call the Lord, I cry to my God for help. From His temple He hears my voice. My cry came before Him and He listens." God hears and listens to our prayers. Amen? So together, this is what we've been doing every single week. Again, not only listening to the psalm, but we've been engaging the psalm. And we've been reading it together. So as a community, we're actually going to read Psalm 18, verses 1 to 6. And then we will take a moment to reflect on it. And if there's time, we will actually share on it together. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them up to Psalm chapter 18, verses 1 to 6. Si tienen sus Biblias, pueden abrir Salmo capítulo 18, versículos 1 al 6. It's going to be in the projector right behind me. And if you'd like, si gustan, lo pueden leer en español también, si tienen Biblia en español. Pero juntos como una comunidad lo vamos a leer en inglés. So you can go ahead and read in English or Spanish, whatever is your heart language. But together, let's take a moment as a community to read this psalm and to pray this psalm together. So let's begin together at verse 1. I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I called to the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and I have been saved from my enemies. The cords of death entangled me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From His temple, He heard my voice. My cry came before Him into His ears. Amen. So let's take a moment, and you can just read that psalm on your own. And then Danny has a microphone, and we'll take just about 3 to 5 minutes to just share together, to sharpen one another in this psalm. And we're going to have a very specific question today, which is going to be, how can the Lord be your refuge this week? But before that, go ahead and take a moment to just read this psalm on your own. Tomen un momento para leer este salmo y después Dani va a tener el micrófono para aquellos que quieren compartir. So we're going to take time to reflect and sharpen one another as a community. And just a couple of ways to bless each other through this. Some of us find it easy to step up. Others find it easy to step back. And I want to encourage you today. If you find it easy to step up, perhaps give an opportunity for someone else to step up. And if you find it easy to step back, perhaps step up in order to bless those around us with what you may have to share today. And we'll limit just one person can share once for the sake of time, just about 1 minute or 2 minutes. And really, this is going to be the focused question for today. How can we live this psalm this week? How can we pray this psalm and live this psalm? And this week for you, how can the Lord be your strength? How can the Lord be your refuge? So let's go ahead and open it up. ¿Cómo Dios puede ser nuestro refugio esta semana? And Danny has a microphone, so you can go ahead and raise your hand and briefly share, and then we will continue. So how can the Lord be your refuge this week? How can you live this psalm and pray this psalm this week? Go ahead and feel free. Just raise your hand. We've done this before. We do this on Tuesdays. And you can just share very briefly. And we'll continue.
Hi. No, I think for me, one of the huge ones, you know, in finding refuge is he was talking about how we find strength in him. And I think for me, at least, this week, it's finding strength in finding, like, giving things up. You know, anger, hurt, pain, even just forgiveness, just letting it go. And just being like, okay, I'm just putting this all down for you right now. And I think that's a huge thing that a lot of us try to hold on to, you know. It's the stress, the busy, the all of that. And that's another way that we can just find refuge. It's not always just in the hurt. Sometimes it's in the stuff we don't want to let go. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Thanks, Harris. So being able to trust in God in those things and letting go and letting God sometimes, right? Yeah. Finding that rest in Him. How else can we find that strength and that refuge in God this week. Andrew?
I think a lot of times we find ourselves there when we're pushed to the point of hurt or broken down. I think a good way to challenge ourselves would be to, you know, get there without having to be broken down.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't always have to be something bad that pushes you towards Him instead.
Yeah.
You could just welcome it.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Andrew. Oftentimes, it's when we're in a rock-bottom situation that we draw near to God, right? But part of Andrew's encouragement is that we can also do that and just simply draw near to Him in order to keep that consistency in life, that He continues to be that strength in the ups and the downs. Someone else? Yeah, back here, Mandy.
I think maybe just really being intentional with it. Mm-hmm. So doing it on purpose, meditating on this word maybe at the beginning of our day, and then really see, you know, watch God work and see this, you know, come to life. And then, like you said, resting in it. Mm-hmm. Resting in, you know, in this season of our lives, and trusting and just watching God's hand move.
Amen. We can't do it perfectly, but we can do it consistently. And even simply, right, in the beginning of the day, connecting with God. Cada día podemos conectar con Dios. And we can have that drive, that fuel to get through each day. Finding that refuge, that strength, that peace that only He can give. Genevieve, go ahead.
I think one of the things, you know, one of the things that sometimes has helped me in the past when I've been going through something very stressful or, you know, just different stages of life, right? I would either have like a card that I would find a psalm that was really, and generally it was psalms, that was very meaningful or refocused me. And whenever I'd feel stress coming up, I could look at the card and I could just read through the psalm, or, you know, keeping a small Bible with you. And when you feel that stress kind of elevating, you know, just pick a psalm, find a psalm, read through the psalm. I even created a background image on my phone one time that had just a short verse, you know, just reminding ourselves that in those moments of stress, we, you know, God is the one who takes care of those things. God is the one who will direct our paths. God is the one who is the light in our darkness. So, you know, just reminders throughout the day. Yes, every morning, like Mandy said, of course, or every evening, but throughout the day, just allowing ourselves to refocus onto His truths.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, just refocusing on the truths of God regularly and consistently. And I love how there are little ways to do that, as Genevieve mentioned. So we're going to encourage you all to just continue to think through that and pray on that throughout the week. How can the Lord be your refuge and your strength this week? ¿Cómo es que Dios puede ser su escudo y su refugio esta semana? So one thing that we've been reflecting on is the fact that the Psalms continue, even today. And we've been expressing that every week through a special, through a poem or through a song that we get to reflect on together. And during these next couple of weeks, we'll have opportunities for several more songs to reflect on. But we're going to give this opportunity to actually welcome our brother Danny, and he's going to share a poem that has been on his heart, a poem that is directly connected to this psalm as well. So let's go ahead and take a moment, and we'll reflect, we'll hear the words, but of course you can also take time to continue to meditate on the psalm that we just read.